Okay. Yeah. About all I can say is
only God. Only God. Yeah, really.
Praise his holy name. Good morning to you all. Only God. Today, we're going to see greater revelation in your lives. Everything that comes to us from God comes to us by revelation from his spirit to us. It doesn't come to our minds, it comes to our spirits. So that's part of the subject that's going to take place today. But before we get into things, I just want to praise God for this scripture that he ended up giving us last week from Romans chapter 11 and verse 36. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Everything about our salvation is of God. Not only what he did in the past, but what he's doing in the present. All of our salvation, all of it, every moment of it, every blessing of it, every act of it, is because of God. That's why we can say only God. Yeah. Only God. Only God. Only God. Be glory forever. We are in a wonderful time. I would say we are in the midst of a revival. Beginning stages, no doubt. But nonetheless, there is a revival taking place. Revival can touch a lot of different things. Of course, it touches the believer first of all and raises us out of wherever we have been into a greater revelation, a greater life, greater purpose, greater glory for God. But often, there is a revelation that comes during the midst of a revival that brings back to the church something that was either missing or lost or never revealed before. And it's kind of like waves of the ocean that come and deposit truth on the shore and then recede. It's a wave of God that comes to us and deposits a revelation to us that enhances our lives and brings us to a higher level of our faith and our walk. And that's what's going on. And everything is by revelation. I keep saying that. Today is a day that you're going to have more revelation about your faith and specifically about Christ in you than you have had before. And revelation is ongoing. It didn't just come as a picture, a photo flash. It begins that way, and then it grows and grows and grows because it's a participation. You begin to participate in the revelation. So, over the years, I have thought about the purposes of my ministry. And of course, as you know, God gave me an apostolic call. So I look at the scriptures to observe and to ascertain the things that are apostolic in nature, what it is that the Apostle Paul and Peter and John and others did that reflect the apostolic ministry. And out of that, I have been able to participate in my own life, how that is, and to share it with you. And I have this scripture that I'm going to read to you from Colossians chapter 1, which sums up the purpose of ministry, at least in my life. And it's from, again, Colossians chapter 1, and we'll begin with, I'd like to begin in verse 25. I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And to this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. What is the goal of ministry, at least apostolic? To present every man perfect, not just perfect, but perfect in Christ, Jesus. Because the more perfection that takes place in you, the more the body of Christ is perfected, matured. The more perfection of Christ in you, the more the kingdom extends in and through you. Because you are the building block of Christianity, Christ in you. As Christ grows in you, so grows the value, the maturity, the substance of the body of Christ. And this is true also of the kingdom. The kingdom is only as great as the presence of God working in his people. And the more perfected we are, the greater the kingdom of God is going to be in the face of the earth. So, this is a goal. This is why we minister. Of course, there's a lot of other attendants to these, to this truth. But the basic line, the basic fundamental here is that all of us become perfected in Christ. When Jesus came to this earth, John 1 says this, that to as many as received him, to them gave he the authority, the power to become the sons of God. That's the goal of God, to get his sons, daughters, perfected in Christ. And this is tremendous. It's an ongoing thing. We are therefore in a teaching season. We're going into things that need to be enhanced, needs to be revealed, needs to be developed in our lives more than ever before. That's why we have temporarily suspended meeting in house churches. We will go back to that, I'm sure. I know we will. But for the meantime, there are things that God wants to deposit in all of us that will make us better as sons and daughters of God. Now, last week, just as a quick recap, we taught about the two different positions that we have in God. The one is either we are in Christ, or the other is Christ is in us. Being in Christ deals with all the things that came all the way up to the cross and up into his ascension and even ongoing. All the promises of God are fulfilled in Christ. Then being in Christ, or Christ in us, now the working of Christ is what is taking place. I want you to either see the video, get the audio. If you were not here, I beseech you to pay attention to that. Watch it. Take the time out of your busy life to get that and really get caught up, because that's one of the pieces of a puzzle that is essential for where we are today. Information and revelation are two different things. To be informed about something is good and necessary. To have a revelation about something is even better. Information deals with thoughts and ideas and concepts and truths that come to our mind and we agree to it. Revelation explodes in our spirits and becomes life to us. That's what you need. That's what we all need. We need that revelation in God. Why? Because revelation comes to our spirit man, not to our natural mind. Do you understand that? 1 Corinthians 2 talks about that. The natural man cannot receive the things of God because they are spiritually revealed, spiritually delivered. But we have the mind of Christ. We who are spiritual can receive the things of God. You are spiritual people, and spiritual truths come to us through revelation. They explode inwardly and become life to us. So I'm going to take you to Ephesians chapter 1. Have we been there before in Ephesians ever? Yeah, we've been there. I am sure you've heard me refer to these scriptures before. And I look at them over and over myself. Like I was talking with Joe earlier this morning. He said, how are things? What's going on in your life? And I said, well, I'm still a participant and a partaker of the truths that God wants me to teach. First and foremost, I am not going to teach you things that are theoretical. I want to teach you what I know that I've experienced that is true in the scriptures and that God wants me to share. I don't know that I can that anybody could ever do that entirely. But when it comes to the life of Christ, then we need to experience him so that we can declare him and love him. Let me go over that again. We don't preach scriptures. We preach Christ. And you can't really preach Christ till you know him. It's like meeting and knowing a friend and developing a relationship with that friend. And that over the years, you've become so intimately connected that when it's time to talk about that person, you're not giving a distant reference. You're giving a firsthand account of who he is. It's a difference in Acts chapter 1 where we read that scripture that when you receive the Holy Spirit, you'll receive power to be witnesses of me. Jesus said that. And a lot of people say, well, that's great. I get power so I can witness for Jesus and I could tell people about him and I can give them scriptures, John 3:16 and John 3:3 and John 3:6, and you must be born again, and I can tell them things and I can witness. No, no, no. Say no. No, no, no. No, 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 no. That's not what it means. It means that you are a participant in the life of Christ. He's been revealed inside of you, to you, and now you can talk about him directly to people. That's what it means. When I was a heathen, earthling of this world, and people were coming at me to tell me I needed to know Jesus, in my own evil little mind, I challenged them many, many times over, questioned them to see whether or not there was strength and reality to their faith. And I could tell the difference to people who were just mouthing scriptures and those who had a confirmation in their hearts about who they believed in. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm saying? You know that. And it's the same today when you witness to people. They know whether you're just mouthing religious platitudes or you know somebody that you want to reveal to them. Something about genuine faith, right? Let's go back here to Ephesians chapter 1. I'll begin in verse 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. All right, before I go any further, let me say this. When he says that he's praying to the Father that he would give you the spirit of revelation and knowledge of him, he's not saying that you don't have the spirit. He's praying that God will release the spirit of revelation in you, enhance it, to give you a better understanding, because the Ephesians already had the Holy Spirit. This was not a different spirit. This is not something different from the Holy Spirit. This is about the Holy Spirit. And so he's praying for that because he knew from his own life the value of having a revelation of Christ in us. And that's why he began to preach him. And so he says that we need the knowledge of him in order to have our lives ultimately connected with him and to live according to him. Oh, it's so wonderful. Praise God. Praise his holy name. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. And on and on and on Paul goes. He just can't say enough about what it is to have Christ in us. It's all about that. So I'm going to take you now to Galatians chapter 1. Let's go ahead, verse 15, Galatians 1. But when it pleased God, this is all about God's pleasure for us. It pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb. It pleased God to separate you from your mother's womb and call you. Even though you were called before the foundations of this earth, there was a moment in time when you came into this earth when God said, that's the person I'm calling now. That's you, Sheila. Do you hear me? God called you by his grace. And then to reveal his son, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. And I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. He didn't even go up to Jerusalem. He said, I ain't going to let anybody bother me. I am going to reveal Jesus because Jesus was revealed in me. Now, this is not a criticism or a judgment of where we are overall as the Church of God. We practice, for the most part, external Christianity, using our flesh. I've said this, I have to say it again. And I have to keep saying it until we understand it. And not only understand it, but renounce it. That we cannot fulfill the will of God by the flesh. Ever. We will constantly fail. Because no flesh will glory in his presence. We will fail. If you try to be good in your own, you will not succeed. The whole book of Romans tells you that. You cannot and will not succeed. You will go back and be bad at some time. We all know that. But when we transfer over and begin to let Jesus Christ live in us, by revelation of him, by awareness of him, by consciousness of him, by submission to him, by agreement with him, by binding with him, by unifying with him, by letting him now be our life. When Paul said, I live, I don't live. Christ in me, he lives. There is an exchange. Here's the truth. There must be an exchange of life in order for there to be a change of life. His life now becomes our life. We do not look to Jesus for a little help. He doesn't want to give us a little help. He wants to take us over and be everything. Of course, we need practical knowledge. We need to understand the things that are revealed to us in the Bible, but then we have to have the revelatory experiential knowledge that breaks open in our hearts, in our inner man, where Christ now becomes our life. In the days ahead, weeks ahead, I'm going to show you that Christ is everything. He's not your Savior. He's salvation. He's not your healer. He's healing. You follow this? Everything that we become is because of what Christ in us is. He is our everything. Everything. He doesn't give you a little humility. He is humility. And this is going to take some time to soak in and to practice, where you switch from your efforts to him. And you can do it because it's God's will for you to do it. So that when you say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, that's not a religious statement. That's just not a piece of scripture. It's life. Life for you. This is what we all need. Jesus Christ was our pattern. So that if we look at his life, then we will see that the things that he did are the things that he will do in us now. All right, let's go to Matthew chapter 3. In verse 16, it says, when Jesus had been baptized, he came immediately up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Chapter 4, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The beginning of Jesus' ministry happened when the Holy Spirit came down upon him. Prior to that time, he was not filled with the Holy Spirit until the age of about 30 here. And when this happened, the beginning of his life and ministry started to take place, not before. We have no real account of Jesus other than at the time when he was about 12 years of age that he was found in the temple having discussions with the scribes and elders about scripture. And then there's a silence between that age until the period of about 30 years of age where now Jesus receives the Holy Spirit because he was fully man, fully divine. He was born of the Spirit, but he did not operate in the power of the Spirit until the Holy Ghost came upon him. Okay? Then we'll just take a quick look at a few other things. Go to John chapter 10. And John chapter 10, verse 37 says, if I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe in me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works that you might know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Okay, Jesus is confronting the disbelief, the unbelief, the lack of faith of those around who would not give agreement to the fact that God had filled him by the Spirit with his own presence, and now Jesus Christ was living by the power of the Spirit, the Father and the Holy Spirit in him. Then in John chapter 14, verse 10, again, he's dealing with the same question. Do you not believe that I am in my Father and the Father in me? Time out. The same principle that we are in Christ and Christ is in us was true of Jesus, that he was in the Father and the Father was in him. Follow this? This is the pattern of our faith. He was in the Father was in him by the Holy Spirit. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Verse 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. Now, of course, we see that this is the entire work of the whole church. But the principle there is that if I don't get out of here, Jesus is saying, then the Holy Spirit can't come. And then if the Holy Spirit comes in the same way I lived, is the same way you're going to live, and the works that I did, you're going to do, because I was only one entity, one person here on the face of the earth. But you will multiply me throughout the entire earth, and that's why there will be greater works. Follow that? Many, many, many more greater works because he goes to the Father. There are two things about the Holy Spirit. Not just two things, but two things I'll mention. One is he'll let you live like Jesus in the natural realm. You will be like Jesus, overcoming temptation, fighting off the issues of your own flesh so that you can walk in this life as he did. That's the one area that's so essential to us. And the other is that you will also perform supernaturally the things that Jesus did because his Spirit is in you. I want to just say this. You know, in 1 Corinthians 12, the reference is to gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're not gifts. They never were gifts. Gifts takes the whole concept out of the realm of the work of the Holy Spirit. It makes it seem like God gave you a gift and you can now work it. That's not true. It says in 1 Corinthians 12 that the manifestation of the Spirit in us allows the Spirit to work through us to do these extraordinary charismatic things. Words of knowledge, words of wisdom, prophecies, tongues, interpretation, words of gifts of faith, gifts of healing, gifts of miracles. I'm saying gifts, but they're manifestations of the Spirit. Because the Spirit in us does the works, just like Jesus. He never took credit. He said, the Father in me does the work. So all the glory goes back to the author, the originator. Of him, through him, and to him. It's of him, in us, of him. Everything is by the author, the originator, in us. Everything. That's why my faith now switches over from just believing a scripture to believing the God of the scripture. Where my faith is no longer in what he said, but who he is. That what he said is who he can do. What he says is who he is, what he will be in me. And my faith now is in him living in me to be everything that pertains to life and godliness and holiness and health and well-being. I am learning, and I want you to learn, that your health is because of the healthy one living in you. He is healing himself. I had to fight off some things this past week, troubling things, worrisome things. And when I was at a doctor's office, of course, they're always going to provide you the negative. And I assessed that like, okay, all right. Even if they're negative, it doesn't matter. Jesus in me is the healer. He is my health. And so if he's in us by the Spirit, then the healer, the health of Christ, issues forth out of us to others. Follow this? Do you remember the time when the woman came from behind Jesus and touched his garment? And he said, who touched me? He said, I felt power issue out of me. Do you get the picture? The life of the power of Christ in him, the Holy Spirit in him, when that person connected with him, drew out of him healing. Because healing was in him. Health was in him. We can learn this and experience this and live in this. That's what this word is saying to us. Hallelujah. And it's good. You have to practice it. Christianity is a practicing faith. After you leave here, this is where real Christianity starts to take place. When you leave this room today, the things that you are hearing, the revelations that God gives to you, are the things that you will begin to practice. You'll put them into play, and you'll miss it, and you'll fall, and that only tells you that, A, your flesh was still in control, B, you didn't have full revelation, and that, C, you will have it. You will have it. It is truth, and you can live in it. And so I left that doctor's office, and I went to Jesus, who was in me, and we had long discussions, and I communicated with him a lot, and I kept declaring to him, well, if you're health itself, if you're healing, then healing is mine because you're in me, and you'll deal with this issue. And he did. And I'm not saying it was overnight, because it wasn't, but that's what Jesus is testing us about. Do you believe who he is? He is not just your Savior, he is salvation. He didn't just die for your sins, he died for you so that he could live through you. Praise his holy name. So I'm going to give you one final thought this morning, unless God has me go any further than this. It's in Romans chapter 8. To get the full measure of this this word in chapter 8, you really should read chapters 6, 7 prior to chapter 8 to understand the struggle that Paul declared that he knew as a natural man what it was like to try to be good but couldn't be good. And he said, there's a law in my members, in my body, that's the law of sin, that when I even try to do that which is right, I fail because I cannot overtake the law of flesh in my members. It's a law. Do you know what a law is? It works all the time, every time it's applied. like the law of gravity. Throw a ball up into the air, it will fall to the earth. That's how laws work. They never fail. Of course, there's times for the supernatural, but we're not going to talk about that. What we want to talk about is the reality of the truth that Paul knew what it was like in his flesh to fail. But then he says in Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Again, this is the key, in Christ, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. All right, you could read some more. There's some more good stuff here, but here's the point. When you want to be righteous, Jesus is made unto us righteousness. When you want to be holy, he is made unto us holiness. He is everything. When we appeal to him at the moment of our temptation, the law of Christ goes to work. It never fails. Ever fails. When you're tempted to do the thing that has overcome you in the past, you appeal to the law of Christ in you and say, Jesus, you are the power to overcome this. I yield myself to you, and his strength will now become your strength. Yes. Whatever it is, whatever personality characteristic there is, whatever human emotion you want to get into, whatever temptation there is that you think you want to do and you can't fight off, and you struggle with it in your flesh, don't struggle with it in your flesh. Appeal to the law of Christ in you. Never fails. Do you follow this? I want you to know this. Now, you're going to have to learn it on your own. I cannot walk it out in you. You have to walk it out with God. And he will walk it through with you. God wants to be your everything. Jesus wants to be your life. And you're going to start to shout one of these days, I no longer live, but Christ in me. He is my life. You're not going to lose your personality or your identity, that peculiar element that makes you you, because God called you as an individual. He knew you, and he still knows you. But he's going to merge you with Christ so Christ becomes your life. He doesn't destroy your identity. But he adds Christ to it so that Christ lives through you. And you're a new creation. All things have become new. All the old things have passed away. And all the new things are of God. 2 Corinthians 5. And this is how we're going to live. This is revival. This is true revival. I've studied for decades. And I say decades. Probably 50 years I've studied revivals. One of the first pieces of material that I got to begin to study was history of revivals. And I have seen that revivals, oh, they have this great, exciting element to them where we're rejoicing and we're thanking God and having pleasure with him and singing. And the God of all grace is moving and miracles are done and healings and salvations. And this lasts for several years. And then all of a sudden, things will get back down to normal because you cannot run at that pace forever. But then in the history of revivals, oftentimes those who came to Christ fell away. Not all of them stayed. And the question is why? The answer is right here in the things that you're learning today. Do you understand? This is the answer. This is the solution to ongoing revival, to true continuous understanding and revelation of Christ in you. And he is going to give you a million opportunities to experience him. Not just one time. Moments throughout life with people in the world, in the body of Christ, with your family, with friends, with strangers, over and over and over, and he will delight to show himself strong in you. Give him a chance. Only God. Only God. Only God. And don't worry about missing it. He gives us millions of opportunities. He will perfect that which he began in you. It's a good work. Amen? Lord God, we thank you. We can't thank you enough, and we will thank you more in our daily lives for all that you begin to reveal to us and then do to us and in us and through us, through Jesus Christ, who is everything, only God. We give you praise and honor and glory for the life that we are going to begin beyond any kind of life we have ever known before, above and beyond. Him who does exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. And to Christ be the glory. Amen. He does it in the church. Hallelujah. He loves his church, his body, to show himself strong in us. We give you praise for that. Hallelujah. Only God. Only God. Would you say that? Only God. Hallelujah. Love you guys. Have a great week.